Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With debt default looming, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer promises the chamber will work for as long as it takes.
Time is a luxury the Senate does not have if we want to prevent default.
And grilling season is here, but the price of beef is set to go up and stay up.
So this is something consumers are not going to feel just this summer. This is next summer, and it's the summer after that. We haven't even gotten forecast for 25, but that's also going to be a huge problem.
Plus, the Supreme Court rules that supermarket chains can be sued for fraud if they overcharge Medicare. It's Thursday, June 1st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Senate leaders are trying to fast-track a vote on the bipartisan debt ceiling deal ahead of Monday's deadline to raise the nation's borrowing limit or risk default. Here's Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer again.
The bill is now in the Senate, where we begin the process today of passing this legislation as soon as possible. The Senate will stay in session until we send a bill avoiding default to President Biden's desk. We will keep working until the job is done.
The deal, which would raise the debt ceiling for 2 years in exchange for federal spending cuts, is expected to clear the 60-vote threshold needed to advance in the Senate. Macy's, along with other retailers, is facing slowing demand from consumers. CEO Jeff Gennette says the department store chain began to see weakening sales trends in March, and Macy's has now cut its full-year outlook on sales and profits. Here now to explain what's happening is our retail reporter, Suzanne Kapner. Macy's is a big player here, and it has cut its outlook for the rest of the year. How does the company plan to work through this, and what does it mean for the health of the business?
Well, they definitely saw a slowdown in their consumer spending in March and April. They did say it started to pick up a bit in May, and it was unclear how much of it was due to the consumer being under pressure versus some of their own missteps. They say they brought in spring and summer goods too early, and consumers weren't ready to buy those clothes in March when it was still cold out. And so now they have to clear out some of that stuff, which is going to hurt their margins. So there's some of that going on, but there is no doubt that there was a slowdown. You know, more than half their customers have a household income of $75,000 or less, and they are seeing those consumers under pressure and curtailing their spending a bit.
Are there any pockets of strength we're seeing in Macy's sales and retail sales generally right now?
Well, in Macy's in particular, I mean, they are still seeing strength in clothes for work and beauty and fragrance and, you know, some of those categories that have been hot over the past year. Notably, they said they are seeing a slowdown in dresses, you know, occasion-based dresses for going out, and a return to some of the pandemic categories that were hot, like housewares, are heating up again.
What do Macy's results tell us about the health of the U.S. consumer? To what extent is Macy's still a barometer of consumer health?
Well, Macy's is a barometer. You know, it has about 40 million customers and a very diverse customer base across income and different ethnicities. So they are a fairly good barometer of consumer health. And they did say they feel that, you know, higher interest rates and inflation and the banking crisis we had this spring all weighed on consumer spending. And they did lower their guidance for the year, which, you know, indicates a more cautious stance. But, you know, it's still unclear to them if the consumer is going to weaken further or how this is going to play out. It's just not quite clear at this point.
That's Wall Street Journal retail reporter Suzanne Kapner. We'll get a clearer sense of U.S. consumer spending power in tomorrow's monthly jobs report. And we're not just seeing slowing business in retail. We're seeing it everywhere, from tech giants to used car dealers. Some companies are juicing their profits through non-traditional number crunching. For example, Google parent Alphabet said its computer servers would last longer than expected, reducing its depreciation expense by nearly $1 billion. That helped push its per-share earnings ahead of analysts' estimates. A spokesperson for Google declined to comment. Our investigative reporter Ben Foldy has more on the big picture.
If you look across a large sample of the markets, you see that a lot of companies are doing this. And the more companies are massaging their earnings, the likelier it is that we're headed towards a downturn. And as business slows down, it makes things look better than they are, and it can give kind of a misleading impression about the state of the economy ahead of a downturn.
An index used to predict the likelihood of earnings flattery found the aggregate score of a sample of nearly 2,000 companies was at its highest level in more than 40 years. Historically, the aggregate score peaks ahead of a downturn in the U.S. economy. Coming up, hamburger and steak prices are already near record highs, and they're likely to keep on climbing. We'll find out why after the break.
Your Money Briefing will explore what you need to know to become a homeowner and how to sustain your home by learning ways to manage the costs from unexpected expenses.
You're basically always in a state of checking. You're always keeping your eye open for anything that could be going wrong with your house. Your house is a complicated machine. It has a lot of systems and components in it, and those systems and components are getting older. They're wearing out.
You can get early access to our series, Buying a Home and Keeping It, on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
If you had a barbecue over the holiday weekend, you probably already know this. The price of hamburgers and steaks is rising. That's because the nation's supply of beef is shrinking. In fact, beef production is expected to drop by more than 2 billion pounds next year, according to data from the Agriculture Department. Why? Here now to explain is Wall Street Journal agriculture reporter Patrick Thomas. The pandemic caused major disruptions to this industry, Patrick, when a lot of plants were shut down and workers got sick. Are we still feeling those repercussions from earlier on in the pandemic?
Yeah. And it does start back all the way to the pandemic when a lot of workers at meat plants who were shoulder to shoulder, you know, kind of got meat, were contracting the virus. It caused some plants to shut down. Places didn't have a lot of workers for a long stretch of time. You know, and even after the initial months, a lot of places had trouble recruiting workers because of what had happened. And, you know, that made it harder for them to get as many cows through their meat plants, and that created a real glut of cattle on the ranch. And for a lot of ranchers, it really hurt their profitability for a long time. Maybe they had to take out some debt. Profit margins were just really low for a lot of ranchers, a lot of cow-calf producers and feedlots for a long stretch of time.
All right, so we are still seeing that recovery taking place. What other factors are at play here in the shrinking supply of beef?
Yeah, so in addition to recovering still from the pandemic, the big one is the drought that has just been going on in a lot of western United States, big cattle-producing country, Nebraska, Kansas, parts of Oklahoma, and parts of West Texas. I mean, those are the big spots that it's really been torching farmers' pastures and dried up all the grass that you need for grazing cattle. And what that does is it makes ranchers, they have to pay more for hay and other supplemental feed, and that drives up their costs. And in addition, there's inflation that we've all felt, higher gas prices, equipment repairs, higher interest rates, just basic things of going about your daily life that squeeze ranchers' profit margins. And it's a tight margin business. And when that happens, when there's drought, they shrink the size of their herd. They send more cattle to slaughter. They don't retain some of the females. It cuts down their expenses. They get more kind of short-term relief by sending them into market and get good prices for them. And it drives up the price of cattle. So they get more money immediately off the market. And now there's less supply. The meatpacking plants are back online. And that suddenly means we have a short supply of cattle coming up. And that means more for your hamburger. It's a complicated system.
Yeah, it sounds like it. But let's talk about the demand for hamburgers and beef in general. Where does that stand right now as we hear a lot more about healthier lifestyles, healthier eating?
So demand for beef has actually been really, really good over the past couple of years. Even going back to the pandemic, people were cooking at home. People really learned how to cook steaks at home. But what's happened recently is we've had a lot more buying of chicken, or we've had a lot of consumers starting to buy cheaper cuts of meat, maybe buy a skirt steak instead of the ribeye, or more ground beef, or switching to ground turkey instead of ground beef. Just we're starting to see the prices get to consumers a little bit. Maybe you go from a steak once a week, maybe it becomes once a month. You know, we're starting to reach that point. A lot of restaurants have already said, even publicly traded ones have told analysts and earnings calls from places like Shake Shack have said, look, we expect beef costs to be up. That's as even some of the other meats like chicken and pork costs have come down in a lot of places, beef is still going to be the one driving our costs.
Summer hasn't even officially started. What are the expectations for consumers for the rest of the season?
Once we get to August, which is typically where that's where we had record beef prices last year, was that peak demand season. And the analysts are saying and meat packers are saying it could give it a run for its money again this year. It could hit that record. And then even next year, it could tack on another 25, 30-ish cents a pound in 2024. So it could keep going up, because a way to think about this is production's going to decline. Ranchers are sending in a lot of cattle to slaughter right now. It takes 2 years to build back a cow. It's not a six-week process like when you ramp up chicken production. Cows take a lot longer of a process. So this is something consumers are not going to feel just this summer. This is next summer, and it's the summer after that. We haven't even gotten forecast for 25, but that's also going to be a huge problem. And so for consumers, prices aren't going down unless we have a huge drop-off in demand for beef and just it gets so expensive to the point where people don't buy it.
So are the current estimates that it could take years for the beef industry to sort of recover and for prices to stabilize again?
That's right. Meat packers say it'll generally take about 2 to 3 years, depending on who you talk to. But it is a couple of years out because we haven't seen the beginning of the rebuilding process yet because of drought still going on. In Nebraska, parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas Panhandle, Western Texas area. So it's just a lot of it's like all aspects of farming. It's a lot of weather dependent.
Wow, so quite a bit of factors to consider here. Wall Street Journal agriculture business reporter Patrick Thomas. Patrick, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, or FINRA, has fined and censored Vanguard Group for errors that appeared in more than 8 million account statements. Wall Street's self-regulator said Vanguard had overstated projected yield and projected annual income for 9 money market funds. In a filing signed last month, it ordered the investing giant to pay $800,000. FINRA said a technical glitch caused the errors and that Vanguard was slow to fix the problem. The filing said Vanguard accepts and consents to FINRA's findings without admitting or denying them. Vanguard has fixed the problems, which didn't affect customers' actual returns. In a move that's expected to get a veto from President Biden, the Senate has voted 52-46 to approve a Republican-led proposal to block his student debt forgiveness plan. The plan would eliminate up to $20,000 in federal debt for as many as 40 million borrowers. But it has faced legal challenges and is currently before the Supreme Court, which is expected to rule this month on whether it's constitutional. Federal student loan payments have been on hold since March of 2020. The debt ceiling bill the Senate is preparing to vote on includes a provision that would codify resuming student loan payments at the end of August. The Supreme Court has ruled supermarket chains that overcharge Medicare can be sued for fraud. The decision comes in a case alleging Safeway and SuperValu defrauded the government by claiming Medicare and Medicaid reimbursements at list price for drugs typically sold to consumers at a discount. In a unanimous decision, the justices said the chains knew they were wrong in seeking list price reimbursements. A lawyer for the supermarket chains referred questions to his clients, neither of which responded to requests for comment. Doctors are recommending more people get CT scans to help detect lung cancer. Medical groups recommend annual scans starting at 50 for people who smoke heavily or who recently quit. But in a 2022 report, the American Lung Association said only 6% of eligible people are screened. Doctors say early detection can be key. Lung cancer is still the deadliest cancer for Americans by far. It kills more than 127,000 people a year, even though rates have been falling thanks to declining smoking rates and new treatments. With Memorial Day behind us, summer is unofficially here. And for some, staying productive on the job during this season is particularly challenging, especially on a day like today in New York, where it's sunny and warm. Here now to chat with me about how beautiful weather can distract you from work and how you can stay productive despite it is Charlotte Gartenberg, host of the Wall Street Journal's As We Work podcast. Charlotte, on days like this, I know I'm not alone in wishing I was outside bird watching, sunbathing, really anything other than being inside.
Oh, I am so with you, Anne-Marie. Let's go. Let's just go outside.
I did. I got to tell you, it was a little hard to come back in for the taping.
Well, it is harder to work when it's nice out. There actually is a Harvard study that says it's hard for a lot of us to focus because we'd rather be, you guessed it, outside in the nice weather.
So what can we do to make ourselves more productive during this time? Do you have some tips and tricks to share?
I did. I got some tips and tricks from a productivity expert, a woman named Julia Morgenstern, on this week's episode of As We Work. And she had a lot of advice. First off, she said, plan ahead, especially because often colleagues are out on vacation. You need to plan your time. So plan your work time, but also plan your play time. So work when you're working and don't when you're not. And most of all, I really liked this one, if focus really isn't there, take a break. Here's Julie Morgenstern.
Any time that you're just feeling like it's like you've hit the point of diminishing returns, you're just spinning and spinning and spinning, getting nothing done, you're 100% should stop work and let go at work and go recharge.
Okay, so speaking of which, Charlotte, I think we maybe should wrap things up here. Go outside. In the meantime, if you want to catch more advice on how to stay productive this summer, listen to the latest episode of the Wall Street Journal's As We Work podcast out this week. Thank you so much, Charlotte.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for the Wall Street Journal.